Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies All 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington this Thursday morning. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sauville, Jason Bishop, and Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. Going to talk some NFL now with George Shahori from Pro Football Focus. Good morning, George.
How's it going, guys?
What's up? Thanks for joining us. I was just checking out your take on the teams with the most improvement on ProFootballFocus.com. And, of course, we're here in D.C., and I was not stunned to see the Redskins are not the most improved team in the NFL. You have them as one of the negative teams, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't make a ton of moves, right? I think that's, you know, something that you should kind of expect with them, because they want to see what Dwayne Haskins can bring to the table, right? And then make some moves, you know, at that point. And obviously deciding what they do at number two is going to be a huge part of that. But, you know, there were a lot of big movers and shakers, and there were some teams kind of in the middle that increased or decreased ever so slightly based on who was cut and who was added. I did like the re-signing, though, of Fuller. I think that gives them an opportunity to compete a little bit more in that division. So I wouldn't say it's, like, very negative by any stretch of the imagination, just not one of the bigger movers and shakers.
Yeah, you had Kendall Fuller, I guess, as one of your positive war additions to the Redskins.
Yeah, here's something that I think has been proven out through this free agency. So you mentioned war, wins above replacement, and that essentially gives you an across-position value for a player. So usually you can say, hey, this guy's a really good corner amongst all other corners, or this guy's a good pass rusher amongst all pass rushers. But wins above replacement looks at all positions and says how valuable is what you do and how good you do it. And coverage is something that is really undervalued and has been undervalued in this free agency quite a bit. I mean, the Eagles are a great example of that. They got Darius Slay for very cheap. They got a great slot corner in Robey Coleman just yesterday for very cheap. And Kendall Fuller is an example of this, a guy who provides a good bit of value because he covers and covers well. And that's something that you need in the NFL, right? It is a passing league. And so the other side of that is being able to defend the pass. And he provides an opportunity to get positive return at a valuable position. And so I really like that move. I thought it was something that for a young team, you know, I didn't like getting rid of Dunbar for a fifth, but at least you save one, you know, one guy you can actually cover.
George, who do you think is most improved in the division, NFC East? Is it the Eagles?
I think it has to be the Eagles. Bringing in a couple of – their biggest weakness was – well, I guess they had a ton of injuries on the offensive side of the ball. But assuming they get some health back there, their biggest weakness was that they just could not cover to save their lives. And if you think about when they won the Super Bowl, what was it that propelled them there? They had a good pass rush for a while. You know, obviously they had Nick Foles come in and play out of his mind. But the other part of it was that their coverage unit was healthy and strong. They had Patrick Robinson in the slot. He played really well. And they actually got performance on the outside. So getting Darius Slay, a guy that can be a top-five cornerback, filling the slot in with Mikel Robey Coleman, who's been one of the top-10 slot corners in the league over the past 3 years, that to me was a potentially, you know, a move that boosts them from, you know, maybe they're fighting in the middle to potentially a favorite there.
So it's interesting. You have the Patriots as by far the worst this offseason in terms of improving, obviously because of losing Tom Brady. And then you have the Bucs significantly improving. So if this is true, why was Belichick in such a hurry to make this move?
You know, it's a very interesting question. I am every day I feel a little differently about who was in the driver's seat with this thing. And reading, you know, the story by Seth Wickersham about, you know, kind of how this all went down, there seems to be a lot of evidence that Brady kind of had decided, hey, I'm moving on. And maybe the Patriots let it happen a little bit, and maybe that it, you know, Bill Belichick said to himself, look, I can see the writing on the wall, so I'm not going to fight it because I don't want to get embarrassed. And part of me wants to prove that I can win 10 games with Andy Dalton. You know, bless him if that's what he wants to try and do. But to me, that this had to be kind of a Tom Brady-driven move because of what you just said, which is when you lose a quarterback that's that good, you really, and we have Jared Sittum in there as their presumptive starter next year. I mean, that is a massive, massive change. And so I think Brady had to be a little bit in the driver's seat because no sane person wants to go from Tom Brady to Jared Sittum.
And, George, you have to think that Brady is thrilled to go from just a motley assortment of receivers in New England. You know, Edelman, of course, steady, but threw the ball a ton to guys out of the backfield. Now he gets to throw the ball to Godwin and Evans, and he's got some productive tight ends there in Tampa. So nice weapons he's surrounded with as he moves from New England to Tampa Bay.
I mean, what a difference, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned Edelman. Edelman was apparently injured, you know, for the majority of last season. So you've got an injured Edelman who's, you know, a slot guy primarily. He's not going to, you know, stretch the field the whole time. You lose Gronk, who was really their main deep threat. I think people forget that he was the guy that stretched the field. They lost him. And then you've got N'Keal Harry, who, you know, I might be able to separate as well as N'Keal Harry. You know, it's not a good situation for them. And now he arguably has the best duo of intermediate to deep receivers in the league in Godwin and Evans, and a guy in Bruce Arians who is going to open up the field, right? No coach in the entire league attacks 10-plus yards downfield more than Bruce Arians. That's what he does. So he's going to give – I think he gives Tom Brady sort of that fountain of youth feeling where it's like, I've been stuck, you know, kind of with Josh McDaniels and these guys that can't really separate, throwing short passes, you know, trying to beat people with 1,000 paper cuts. And now I get to go to Tampa Bay. I get to open it up. I get to feel young again. That's got to be enticing to him. And I think he can be successful there.
All right. So sticking in that division, Atlanta adds Todd Gurley. All right. So, you know, this might be Dan Quinn's last hurrah. Thomas Dimitroff, the GM, might be his last hurrah. Who knows? Ownership has given them one last chance. I would assume they have to make the playoffs at least to keep their jobs going forward. But let's talk about what they did, adding Gurley. You know, they lose Hooper, but they replace him with Hayden Hurst, the tight end. You still have Julio. You've got Ridley. You've got some, you know, they added Treadwell. What are your thoughts on what they did so far, especially offensively?
Man, I need to understand why there's so much hype being put on collecting former first-round picks. you know, I think that we've all seen this graphic of they've got first-round picks at every position, you know, because they bought Todd Gurley in. It should be a real bad sign when you can just pick up former first-round picks because the team that originally drafted them doesn't want them anymore, right? Because people will hold on to first-round picks just because they invested in them, you know, even though they really stink. You've got to really be bad to get pushed out away from the team that drafts you in the first round. Todd Gurley is a big name, but he doesn't provide anything for you. He doesn't catch the ball well, which I think is a huge, huge issue for any running back. If you can't threaten in the passing game, you just don't add any value over any running back off the street. And Todd Gurley has had the fifth worst drop rate among running backs over the past four seasons. You can't have running backs dropping passes at the line of scrimmage. So to me, that is a move that in name, you know, it accentuates their expectations. But on the field, I don't expect it to do really anything for them. And Treadwell might even be worse. I mean, he has never done anything. He couldn't even crack the top three receivers on a team that only had two receivers last year in Minnesota. So I think they have the talent, certainly, aside from those guys, to make the playoffs. But adding those two did not improve their projection at all.
We're joined by George Shihori from ProFootballFocus.com. In your opinion, has Jadeveon Clowney overplayed his hand? He had a deal reportedly from the Dolphins somewhere in the neighborhood of $17 million per season, turned it down. Doesn't seem like people are beating his door down to pay him $18 to $20 million. Do you think he gets in that price range, and who do you think spends that money on him?
Man, I don't think so. I think that his camp is trying to throw out a couple of teasers to get teams excited. I'm shocked personally that the Miami Dolphins were willing to offer him that much, given where they're at right now. They should be, you know, they should be playing for the future, and he's a guy that obviously doesn't really bring that for you. Here's his issue. So at PFF, we talk a lot about how sacks are misleading, because what you really are looking at is how often does the pass rusher get to the quarterback, and that's pressures, because those are a much larger sample. And Jadon Clowney has always been a really good run defender and a pretty average pass rusher. And so we would never pay him close to $20 million. But the NFL always values sacks really highly. And in this situation, he only has 3 sacks. So the NFL is kind of with us on this one, where it says, oh, he didn't get any sacks, he must not be that good of a pass rusher. And so to me, that's why he hasn't been signed yet. No one wants to pay $20 million for a guy that only had 3 sacks. And I can't imagine that a team at this point is going to throw $20 million his way when no one is offering it to him. I joked that the Texans might be his best shot, because they seem to be making moves that are pretty nonsensical left and right. So maybe he could convince them into bringing him back.
George, on ProFootballFocus.com, you guys wrote about Clowney. Another interesting article was about Christian McCaffrey and whether the Panthers should actually explore trading Christian McCaffrey, who's an unbelievable player, but because he's at his peak.
Here's the thing with running backs is they peak during their rookie contract. And you don't want to be in a situation where you are paying a running back a ton of money. It's just, you are not getting value above what you can find for cheap in the draft. And, you know, McCaffrey's already making a decent amount because he was a first round pick, but he's never going to have more value than he has right now. And so if you're the Panthers and you're saying to yourself, okay, we're going to be competing in 3 to 4 years, well, that means that you'll be paying, if you keep Christian McCaffrey, you'll be paying him a lot more money than he's worth, because you'll be paying him a little bit for his past performance, which you don't want to do. You want to pay him for what he's going to do in the future. And running backs, they just don't have a long shelf life. So if you could get, you know, a first round pick or maybe even more than that for Christian McCaffrey, it's definitely something that you should think about, because they're playing for the future. And McCaffrey, as amazing as he is for a running back, you know, the value at the running back position is just not as great as I think people that play a lot of fantasy football think it is. So they should definitely explore it, you know, over the course of the season and see what they can get for him.
All right, George, we can't let you go without talking about the other two big names who are available on the free agent market, Cam Newton and Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
All right, so we talked about Clowney. Let's move on to Cam Newton, who, of course, was released by Carolina. What makes sense for him? And does he join a team where he is the number one starter, or do you think he has to compete with whoever he joins?
I mean, how crazy is this, right? He's an MVP 5 years ago. And you look at quarterbacks that have won MVPs and then where they are 5 years from then, and they're all successful. But they're all like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. And what they do is they win by throwing the football from the pocket. And that's something that's a little more sustainable, right? You can do it later into you know, your 30s and, as Tom Brady showed, your 40s. Cam Newton won the MVP in large part because he was overpowering people. It wasn't his ability to throw the ball with pinpoint accuracy. In fact, from a clean pocket, no quarterback has a higher percentage of overthrows. You know, we always talk about you need tall receivers because Cam throws it high. He does. And if you don't have faith in his health to overpower people, you're not paying him money to throw the ball from the pocket. It's just not going to be valuable. So to me, a team would have to take a chance on his health. I thought the Bears made a ton of sense. They've already gone with Nick Foles. I think the Chargers make some sense, but it looks like they might be trying to go younger and, you know, say, hey, Tyrod's our guy, but then we're going to take Herbert. Those are the two that made the most sense to me, because they could use a guy with a little bit of a name that will come in and get people excited, and they need to take a chance because they have some talent there that they need to kind of try and win now. And so you're looking for a guy with the potential, if he's healthy, to help you do that. But I don't see a team that is kind of, you know, maybe in a rebuilding mode taking a chance on him, because you're going to have to pay him a little bit of a premium. So at this point, as crazy as it sounds, I think we're kind of waiting for an injury to happen and then a team to go, okay, well, we need to pick up a guy like a Cam Newton or even a Jameis Winston. And to be honest with you, I'd rather have Jameis Winston.
So you think Jameis gets signed quicker than Cam?
You know, if I were the GM of the team, I would sign Jameis before Cam because he's a guy that I've already seen. You know, I saw last year where he can win. Now, certainly the 30 interceptions scares you, but interceptions are super unstable, meaning not consistent from season to season. Jameis can make big throws down the field. Cam Newton, I don't know if he can do the thing that makes him successful, right? I don't know if he can run the ball with the reckless and powerful abandon that he has in the past. And I've already seen that he can't throw it super well. So if I'm looking for a guy that I have more confidence in, it's Jameis Winston. I think a team will sign Cam first because of his name, but I wouldn't.
I would agree with you there. I don't like either one, don't love either one, but Jameis is 5 years younger and he's healthier. So I would probably take Jameis before Cam as well.
And he can throw the ball better, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you guys.
All right, George. Hey, appreciate the time, bro. All right, we'll talk soon.
Guys.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
That's George Shihori from ProFootballFocus.com.
And thanks for the password, right? We're all members now. I love that.
Yeah, ship it.
Yeah, they got some great stuff, man. That McCaffrey thing to me is interesting. I mean, I don't think that they would be bold enough to do it, but if you look at trend lines on running backs, they do peak in their rookie deal, so maybe you deal him before you have to give him mega money and then who ultimately disappoints you. Ask all those teams that paid guys like Gurley and Devonta Freeman and other big-name running backs if they wish they could go back and not sign them after their rookie deals had expired. I'm guessing most of them are going to tell you that, you know, they wish they hadn't splurged on guys like David Johnson. The list goes on.
Hey, Logan Ryan's still out there, EB.
He is.
I've been stumping for him, but no one's making a move.
Do we have cap room?
Plenty of cap room. Skins have like $30 million in cap room.
They signed 13 guys.
Yeah.
None of them for big money, though.
Ryan picked off 4 passes. He knocked down a career-high 18. He also forced 4 fumbles and had 113 tackles, both career highs last year. Right. Now, obviously, free agent year, so he was probably playing up a little bit, but I think he's worth a shot if you can get him.
I agree. Now, what's going to be interesting, though, is the economic impact on this. How is this going to affect the salary cap, right? This is going to affect the salary cap in future years because they're not going to be generating nearly as much revenue, I would think.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. We'll come back. We'll open up the phone lines. If you want to chime in on NFL free agency, the Redskins, anything else, your chance to steer the show, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on an open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show, 800-636-1067 is the number. I'm sure you guys all saw the story out of Pennsylvania where they had to throw out $35,000 worth of food.
No, what happened?
A woman purposely coughed on $35,000 worth of food.
Does she have the Rona?
I don't know that they know whether she has it or not, but she can't risk it. Well, she needs to be thrown in jail immediately.
Correct.
Immediately.
Right.
What are they going
to do? Or fine $35,000.
What are they going to do, JP, when they find, let's say, 5 people test positive at the Kensington Safeway? Are they going to trash all that food?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I mean, I think it's a really tough call for all of these places.
Yeah.
Like, what does Amazon do when they find out that they have warehouses with people that have coronavirus? They can't close down the warehouses.
No, again, that's easy. When we get our packages, you know what we've been doing? We just open the package outside, bring it inside, and then wash your hands. What else can you do? Like, open it, get it out of the thing, and then bring it inside and wash your hands. I think that's fine.
Sounds like a solid plan. I mean, what more can you do?
I don't know what else you could do.
So was this woman arrested?
They say it was, you know, they called it a twisted prank. I mean, the story just talks about them throwing out the food. Police were called. The case was escalated to the district attorney's office, but I don't know that they've charged her at right now.
Well, you know,
what a loser.
The store owner had the dilemma.
Yeah.
And the store decided to throw out the food.
At my Safeway, so I went, you know, I've been going at night. So the problem with going at night is most of the stuff is picked over. But at least there are fewer people there and it's fine. But, like, I like to get the bag salads, and especially right now. The bag salads are mowed through. They're gone. Empty shell. But, like, I like to get the bag salads, and especially right now. The bag salads are mowed through. They're gone. Empty shelves. So then I said, all right, I'll just go get some romaine. And then I looked at the romaine, and it's kind of nubby. And you like to pick through it, right, to see one, pick it up. And I'm like, oh, that's not right. So now I'm just not buying salad, you know. And let's say you want to go buy green peppers.
What about the bags? I always buy just the bags.
Well, I said the bags are sold
saying.
Out.
Okay.
That's what he's saying.
They're empty.
You know what my problem with this whole thing is, Eric?
Yeah.
Is that people are taking this opportunity to cook more than ever, and they're going to the grocery store every day. Valdez is doing gourmet meals every single night, and he's defeating the whole purpose of the lockdown because he wants to be a better chef all of a sudden.
Fresh ingredients.
So he's mingling with all these donks, wasting time at the grocery store.
Right. Well, why doesn't he either A, go at an odd time, or B, buy for a week, buy for 10 days?
Well, technically it's an odd time. I'm going, like, early afternoon.
That's the middle of the day for people.
What's wrong with mozzarella sticks?
Drab's upset that we're not eating like crap and all this frozen food. And he's the only one putting on pounds from eating mozzarella sticks.
Right. There's too many dogs cooking and going to the store.
You don't need to
go to the store every day.
I'm going to the store every day and making a silly gourmet meal and practicing my cooking ability.
What did you make last night? What was the gourmet dish?
Chicken enchiladas. Homemade. Silly.
That's gourmet.
Yeah, it was like guapos.
Yeah.
I went to the store. I have a silly pound and a half rockfish. I'm ready to cook.
Don't you go and just buy that in advance for a week? You can't think that far ahead. Plan.
I don't. I'm perusing the internet, looking at silly recipe ideas.
All right. So sit down. Put on your calendar.
Well, I don't know what the store is going to have from day to day.
Because I can't
really stockpile up.
And you forget stuff, so they're always going back for that one last ingredient.
Yeah, that too.
I don't know what's wrong with Tostitos and cheese.
Yeah. Well, people are saying,
here's wrong with it. Nothing.
Nachos. Homemade nachos.
We're in a crisis, Rix.
Chase is out there high-fiving people when he makes a Ferger Burger. I can go to Giant.
I hope I get a lot of Ferger Burgers today. That'd be nice.
All right, we said we were going to go to the phones. I believe we've got some people that want to chime in. Open Line Thursday. EB, you've got the list.
I do. I don't know if they're still on. Are they still on, Drabby? A couple of them?
We can go to Mike. How about this? We'll go to Mike in Norfolk on line one. Mike, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Are you there, pal?
Yeah, good morning, Jones.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Mike?
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, thanks for being here, guys. We need you. We need you. We need the
last. Thanks for listening in Norfolk. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I don't know if I want to talk toilet paper or red skin, but let's start with the skins. You guys want to get toilet paper or red skins? I guess I had to give my 10-year-old and 12-year-old a tutorial on how much toilet paper to use.
Rationing.
Is it really that hard to find toilet paper?
Is it tough?
Yes.
Is it tough
Everyone
down
says
there?
You can get
there's
on
none down here in Norfolk at all.
Really?
Are you kidding?
There's none down here in Norfolk at all. No toilet paper.
Is there food?
Baby wipes. Oh, there's plenty of food. I got some baby back ribs yesterday, but I don't want to give. I want to give Valdez a hard time. He probably doesn't know how to cook them. So let's just go Redskins. Ron Rivera. I think he's doing a great job. I like the way he's weeding out, you know, some of the bad seeds. Quentin Dunbar, Monte Nicholson, and thank God we don't have to worry about Tua or Cam Newton coming on board. What do you guys think?
I don't think Dunbar is a bad egg necessarily. He just wants to get paid. He wants to make more money. He feels like he's worth more money, and he's disgruntled, and he wants a different change of scenery. Nicholson's a bit of a knucklehead. I'm fine with getting rid of him. The on-field production wasn't great, and he's clearly a headache off the field.
And then what are they going to do about Trent? I mean, they're finally going
to
make.
Well, at some point, they're going to have to realize that they're only going to get a third round pick for him, and just have to pull the trigger and move on. You can't have this cloud hanging over the organization again with Trent Williams for another.
Don't
season.
You think they would have already taken that third round pick if that was offered?
I
would have taken it in a heartbeat.
You would think.
By the way, we graded the offseason, which is totally unfair, but it's just our natural inclination. None of us were higher than, I believe, a C+.
Correct. I think I gave C-.
Yeah.
Cakes is the only one.
I gave him a solid C.
Oh,
if they didn't go out and get Fuller and Davis, I would have given him an F.
Right. All right, let's go to line five. Let's go to AJ. Is AJ calling from Austria?
Well, it's either Vienna Virginia, Austria. Or Austria.
Is that right?
Vienna, Austria.
What's up, man? What's the situation over there? Are you guys in lockdown?
Oh, absolutely. All the borders are closed. You can't go out in groups larger than five. Have to remain 6 feet or 2 meters. Police will ticket you if you're not following the orders. So, yeah, they're pretty, surprise, surprise, the Austrians are really strict.
Right.
What are the cases up to? Is it pretty serious there?
No, it's not as bad as Italy. So out west, that borders Italy, there, some of the provinces there are on full quarantine. Like, you can't go in and out. Cities full lockdown. That's where it's the worst. Mm-hmm. But relative to, we're like 3,500 cases and definitely under 100 deaths. I don't know what the total is right now, but the quarantine, the social distancing definitely seems to be working, but the Austrians are also healthy people. I don't know if that plays into it. Like, they're always outdoors, always hiking, you know, they're really fit people. So maybe they were better prepared, but,
What brought
weird.
You to Austria?
Just in my part. What was that?
What brought you to Austria?
Sorry, one more time.
How did you end up in Austria? What brought you there?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I work for the U.S. State Department, so I'm a glorified IT guy, go around the world. So.
Nice.
How long have you been there?
A year and a half. So I got another year and a half. But I mostly just wanted to say thanks to you guys. Like, I travel around the world. I listen to you everywhere. Like, I've listened to you in, really bad locations and really good locations. And it's always something my dad and I have to talk about. Like, when we connect, like, hey, did you listen to the Junkies this morning? Do you hear him say this? And because I'm home based in D.C., like, you guys keep me connected to what's going on. What's the pulse? Like, what are people talking about? And it's just listening to you is like listening to my friends. And I've been listening to you for like 2005. So I just want to really say thank you. Like, I know this sucks. Like, this sucks for everyone around the world. But you guys are essential. Like, I'm staying at home. I'm told not to work. And I was, I work for our government. But you guys, radio guys, have to go in. And we need you. Like, and I really, really appreciate it. And I hope everyone knows that around the world you have fans.
Thank you. And
we're dialing in and we're laughing and, yeah. So that's mostly what I wanted to say. I mean, get back to trashing the Redskins. That's always funny. I'm a Bears fan, so I don't have room to. But, really, really appreciate it.
I have a question for you. Is it fait accompli? We haven't really talked about this. Is it just a lock that Foles is going to start over Trubisky?
I hope it's a competition. I hated that trade from the get-go. I mean, like, I'm a Virginia Tech grad, so I saw Trubisky in the ACC, and we beat him. The bad Hokies beat him, and all of a sudden they traded up to get him. So I never wanted him to be our quarterback.
Uh-huh. They didn't have to trade up to get him.
Yeah. I know. Oh, my God. I hope it's a competition, and Foles isn't great. I mean, I wish they'd gone and gotten Rivers. Like, they're building up their defense a little bit. Rivers can be a 1 year deal. Maybe, he's just good enough, to carry. I mean, this is the whole problem with like Rex Grossman era, Bears. Like, they had an amazing defense and they just throw these terrible, terrible quarterbacks. The thing that gets me the most, if you go back to that Rex Grossman time, Drew Brees was a free agent, but I know he had like the shoulder injury and people didn't want to like take a chance on him, but you could have had a dynasty there. And the Bears just keep missing.
And it's so incredibly frustrating. So,
hey, well, Rex took you to the Super Bowl. Thanks a lot for calling, and stay safe in Austria.
Thanks, AJ. Appreciate it. Be safe, man. Very cool.
800-636-1067 is the number. It is open line Thursday. We'll come back, take more of your calls here on the Junkies.
Commercial break. I go into the kitchen. I just clean the kitchen because my wife and daughters, they just crush it. You know, the night before, and right. While I'm sleeping, they're just pummeling things, and there's dishes everywhere. So every single commercial break, I'm either cleaning the kitchen or I'm vacuuming the living room.
You're a busy man.
That's what I do in the six-minute breaks.
Is it healthy to go in and drain the coffee pot? I made a full pot, and it's about 70% empty at this point. That can't be good for the ticker, can
it? What's a full pot? How many cups?
12 cups of coffee?
What?
And you plan to take a nap right after the show?
Not plan to,
easily.
You know what?
Without question. There's
no effect on it.
Yeah, my body, this temple
is immune to it.
Impervious to the effects of caffeine.
Have you been running, Cakes?
I'm sorry?
Have you been running during this?
No. Like last week I went for one run. Very nubs. I'll probably go for a walk today. Maybe a run today, but the running has fallen off. It needs to get cranked back up.
I keep telling myself tomorrow is the day that I'll start to clean up my act in terms of not grazing on food and just going full-core prison workout. Haven't done it. It keeps being pushed back to tomorrow.
Sure. Understood.
All right, let's bang out some of these calls. Remember, at 9, Valdez wants to play Essential or Not. At 9. And so listeners call in, you give us your gig, and we'll tell you whether we think it's essential or not.
We're basically lifting it from some of our friends at 98 Rock in Baltimore.
Yeah, basically.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
What happened to my idea of fatty or not? We name athletes who are dealing with the coronavirus whether they're going to come back as big fatties.
That. Yeah, that could be on tomorrow's show.
That could be
a Friday staple.
We got nothing but time.
EB, do you think Ovi will return to his fatty days?
I'd probably be a little chubby. But it doesn't really matter for him at this point.
He should have a big-time home gym.
But there are some guys
who live in condos that are screwed.
Well, just a preview, I saw like a 10-second clip of Ryan Fitzpatrick like shotgunning a Bud Light seltzer on his porch.
Yeah. Fatty.
It looked like he had packed on a few.
Yeah.
Well, did you see the video of Roethlisberger where he looks homeless?
I did see that.
His face is covered in hair, but it still looks so pudgy.
Roxenberg.
Right. The problem is I have a nice gym, but I'm so sloth-like during the day now, I could barely motivate myself to go down there. It's embarrassing. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I just feel like just terrible. I just don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah, I've gone for some runs, but in terms of lifting, I don't have a ton of weight equipment. I do have one of those attachments that you can put to the door to do pull-ups. The problem with that is your feet, like, I got to completely fold my legs to do pull-ups. It's just the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Do you know what I did before the quarantine hit and basically everyone in our building isn't allowed to come in anymore?
Right.
Go ahead. I think I have an idea what you did.
I went down to the gym that we have on the first floor.
Yep.
And I commandeered a couple of medicine balls and dumbbells.
You're kidding, right?
No.
You're hoarding gym equipment.
Yeah, and I put them in a duffel bag and put them in my car, and now I can work out from home.
Oh,
who's looking at that film, EB?
Man,
I'm not taking it. I'm going to bring it back after I wipe it down with some wipes and stuff like that.
Dude, they had to buy equipment because people are stealing dumbbells. Now I know it's my producer.
I just took them for last week or two weeks ago.
The first time you've ever stolen?
Yeah, that's the first time I've taken anything from downstairs.
Did you take the big ones, like the 50-pounders?
I'm a big boy.
He's doing ball slams.
Duffel bag.
What?
He's doing ball slams at home, slamming them down to the ground.
Yeah, not the drab kind, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
All right. That's what drabby's in.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones.
All right.
800-636-1067 is the number. Alan's in Rockville. Alan, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Alan, are you there, buddy? Line four.
Sorry, hang on.
Hello?
Hey,
hello.
What's up, pal?
I have a two-part question.
Here, there's Alan.
What's up, buddy?
All right.
Two-part question.
What's up, Junks? Two-part question. So I was wondering, with the MLB, they're going to shorten the season. It's probably going to be 120 to 130 games. Do you think that benefits the Nats, considering, you know, Max is getting older, Stras pitched very deep into the playoffs, Doolittle got tired at the end of the year, Howie Kendrick's a little older, we re-signed Cabrera, who's older. And the second part of that question is, what do you think we need to add to our team?
I don't know. Why do you think we're going to have 120 or 130 games?
That's optimistic.
That's where, I mean, if they don't start until after July 4th or All-Star break, how are they going to get 130 games?
Yeah, that would be in the high end, I would think.
I think they're going to get about 80 in, maybe 90.
Okay, well, either
way, I don't know if it would benefit.
It's a benefit.
I mean,
the
things that you said made some sense, but I don't know if it truly benefits them that the season would be short. And let's say they do play 100 games. Does that really benefit them?
Well, here's how
I'm not so sure they'll get the season in at all.
Yeah, me too.
I agree.
They canceled the Olympics.
You have to get off to a
hot start.
That
was going to be, you know, July.
If they get off to a hot start, short season helps you. Last year, if they had a short season, they'll win the World Series, right? So it makes your start more critical than ever.
Because sure would be nice if we were actually breaking down opening day.
Right.
I think we can scratch off the calendar 106.7 The Fan Day, right? That's coming up in a couple weeks.
Well, at least push it a few months down the road.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I don't even look at my calendar anymore. I told you guys that. Yeah. Let's go to line six. Go to Paul in Upper Marlboro. Hey, Paul. What's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, love the show.
Thanks,
Paul.
But listen, every time I listen to Jason, I realize how much my life sucks.
Why?
I was listening when he said, "Listen to my dog bark." I had to turn the radio up. It sounded like the dog was down the street. I mean, how big is his house? I mean, when my dog barks, you can hear my dog bark, and people are going, "Hey, man, get your dog out of here!" I had to turn the radio totally up to listen to this dog bark. Sounded like he was down the street.
Right.
How big is your house?
He does live in a palace in Ashford.
It's not that
Everybody
big.
Knows that.
It's not that
house.
Big.
Where does the
it's
dog
It's bigger
live?
Than the other junks, but it's not that big.
Where is it, Jason?
Like a lot of things.
Yeah. Not that, though. Yeah. Where is the dog when it was
I can't
barking?
Hear Bickle. I got to disconnect.
Jason.
Is the dog on the main level or the basement?
Right now, my dog is upstairs in my bed sleeping, but...
There you go.
When she was barking, she was on the main level.
And gotcha. The truth is, your office is fairly close to your staircase.
Correct.
So
and
it's
my
not...
office is very close to the front door, which is where she was when she was barking. I'm telling
I mean,
you.
You have a big house, but it's not a 10,000 square foot house. It's probably in the 4,000 range. I don't know.
Well, a little bit bigger. But my dog is a great watchdog, believe me. I don't mind when she barks because she barks at everybody.
All right. Let's go to, let me see. Let's go to Brian. Calling from New York City, the hot zone, baby. Brian, are you safe?
Yes, thank you for asking, EB. I have a suggestion for you guys. You know, I was inspired by the Austrian caller a few minutes ago. I used to live in Bethesda, which is how I know you guys. But yeah, I live in Queens now. But my suggestion is, I actually enjoy these shows more than I enjoy your regular shows. It's very therapeutic. And my suggestion is when sports inevitably does come back, please consider talking less about sports, because I just love your dynamic and I can relate to what you're going through with your families.
I'm out.
And it's emotional for me.
It's always been a mix.
You know, let's face it, but you know, aside from football, I love sports. Aside from football, all these other regular seasons really don't mean much. So, you know, I really just love you guys not talking about sports, and please, you know, keep that in mind. I think a lot of your audience feels that way.
Well, that'd then you're going to love the next show. 2 months. You're going to love the next 2 months of content, I've read.
I think we all would say this. It's always been a mix. If you listen to the very first Junkie show all the way back on the weekends in 1996, we've always mixed personal stories and entertainment stories. And then it's seasonal. I think in the fall, we talk a lot more sports. During baseball season, when nothing else is going on, we might give you an update on the Nats, have a couple of sports guests, but it's a lot of non-sports in the summer.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. When we come back, I guess we're going to do essential or not. All right. So you call in, give us your gig, And, you know, I guess we're just going to insult you.
Just to set it up, the governor of Maryland said the junkies are essential.
Yeah, and he so said that's, dry cleaners are essential.
From a very high authority.
I think dry cleaners, totally non-essential.
But unessential. You need to get your starch shirts.
Please.
Who needs those? I never know what to say.
Nobody's
they always go starch, and I'm like, whatever's normal. What do you say?
From home. It doesn't make any sense to me. All right, 800-636-1067. Essential or not, Valdez is ripping this off from our buddy Justin over at 98 Rock. What the hell? We'll give it a shot. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.